if someone's ever given you one of those monthly subscription gifts where you get the chocolate of the month, or this is a real one, the socks of the month club, every month you're like, oh, that's a fun little gift, and it reminds you that they were thinking of you. Well, buckle up, Buttercup. We're about to take subscription services to a whole new level. It's the Chicken of the Month Club. That's right. You can join me and other potties and WayFM listeners at fh.org/Wally Show and give two chickens to a different family every month. Now, chickens in these developing countries make a huge difference in the lives of these families. These chickens provide a sustainable source of protein through their eggs every day, which helps nourish malnourished kids. And since chickens multiply quickly, it's a great side hustle for these families in that they can generate income by selling eggs or chicks in the market. And by you doing a $28 a month gift, you can make sure that a different family gets two chickens every month. That's kind of cool and very different. If someone gave me two chickens every month, I wouldn't know what to do with that. But in these other countries, they not only know what to do with them, they're also very thankful for people thinking of them and helping them out of these tough times. So what I love about Food for the Hungry is their mission to end poverty by going to the places and walking with some of the world's most vulnerable people, and they've done it for 50 years. You can trust them and you can do some good right now. So go to fh.org/Wally Show if you want to join our Chicken of the Month Club. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today, kind of the exclusive content here. This is from a call that we got during the show that we did not air because the lady was really upset with Betty. We were talking about when Betty went and accidentally took her lunch that she ordered online from a place and they had it set out on the table and you just pick it up, but they didn't charge you online. You're supposed to pay when you got there, and she just was in the habit of like Chipotle, grabbed it and walked out. Yeah. So, I mean, innocent thing, not, you know, on purpose. And then we were kidding because she hasn't made it right yet. She's going to, but we were busting her chops and having people. If you've listened to the show, it was the five calls called. If you've listened to the podcast already. And so we're just giving Betty a hard time about it. But this lady called and was so upset with Betty. She doesn't listen to the show a lot, apparently, but she was so upset. And I just want to play a little bit.
Hi, I'm calling because I'm very disturbed by the Betty conversation about the chicken meal. I just think that it was so wrong. I had my 6-year-old granddaughter in the car waiting to go to school, and I found it extremely offensive and not God-based. I really think you need to stop and think before you start talking.
Yeah, that's not a hallmark of this show, of stopping and thinking before we talk. But what was interesting is Betty is sitting here in the room, doesn't say a word, doesn't make a peep, and she's right here while the lady's talking about her, and you just said nothing. I had to do everything. Like, why didn't you speak up?
What did you want me to say?
Oh, I would have defended you, and I defended the segment. Yeah. I was like, because I think coming from you and talking to her, yeah, she probably would have gotten madder. But, you know, it's just interesting.
Because I didn't see a point. Right. Like, she's offended, and I can't unoffend that. So I'm just, okay. Thanks.
I kind of won her over, I think, towards the end.
Yeah, I think she came around. But
because I was explaining the logic of why we do this and how, yes, it's like a Disney story in that you've got a bad situation, but then there's a redeeming thing to it. And so, yes, we're making fun of Betty's bad decision to not go back yet, but we had everybody else on the planet saying, oh, you need to make it right. And then the Bible has all these negative examples followed by the positive, you know? And so, like, she couldn't see that because she got mad and turned it off. And that's the problem. I was like, you need to listen to the whole thing and then you'll see it come around, because it usually does.
And you were talking about how, like, oh, you can, like, use this to have a good discussion with, like, a kid in the car. And she said that she did do that, so.
I'm like, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. That's how we do this. But it was it was just funny because I know you don't like conflict.
I don't.
And so you're like the whole time you're just listening to this and then I'm just relishing in it.
Well, yeah. And I get her point, but I also get our point too.
Right.
That's the problem with
being a nine. You see both sides.
I see both sides.
Oh, yeah.
So I get why she would be offended, but I also get why she shouldn't be offended.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Like, in doing this show, there are sometimes things that we do and it's a matter of tone or things like that. There was something else in the thing today, like during one of the kids segments. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to change how we did that a little bit because it was too negative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, it's always a judgment call in doing this job. Because I can see ahead of time, oh, somebody might not think that lines up with what we say we are. And for this lady, what we say we are didn't line up right there, you know. But again, Well, what the station says it is. I've never said, like, oh, I'm super positive and encouraging, you know, like Caleb or whatever. Like, that's why I couldn't work there. But, like, I used to say I'm positively discouraging. But, like, so for me, I always focus on the realism in what we do. Because, like, theoretically, our slogan is uplifting, upbeat, real. And so the real covers the harder conversations technically, but it was interesting that, again, this is why we love you as potties, because we don't typically have these kind of conversations with potties. They understand, and that's the point I was trying to make here. I'm like, if you give it a little bit more time, you'll understand and you'll see the heart behind it. You can't just judge it on one quick thing, you know, that you didn't like, because like right after that segment was the whole thing about how awesome teachers are, you know, and right. That's something she would have loved, I'm sure. Right. And so just because one thing gets you, don't throw it. It's cancel culture. Like, mm-hmm. like she was ready to cancel everything on that one little thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the hardest part for me, but yeah, it's just interesting.
Yeah.
How I get charged up by that stuff and Betty gets drained by it. Southwest Airlines. I flew on them recently. We even did a game with them. I love Southwest. I've enjoyed flying them, and people are always nice. They now are the latest airline to mandate vaccines for workers. So if you want to work at Southwest, you have to do it. And here's why. They have government contracts. They fly the mail. They fly military personnel and things like that. So Biden's whole thing of if you're a government employer, you have a contract, you have to have... Exactly. This is why he did it this way. You know, because he can't mandate it. He can't do a across-the-board national mandate. So what he did was he did it so that companies would be penalized if they didn't comply, so they have to comply or they lose out on millions of dollars in contracts. And so he's getting the companies and the private sector to do his dirty work for him, you know, and that's the thing. Like that's the sketch part of all of this, man.
So I wonder if we'll see people that are quitting their airline.
Yeah.
Career because they don't want to get it.
You will, and you can't sue. You can't do anything about it. It's just sorry. And that is where we've gotten so messed up through all of this.
Last month, I heard something about there were some police in maybe Michigan, maybe it was Washington. Yeah. I don't remember, but they were gonna do like this union like thing because they were told that if you want to be a police officer, then you have to get the vaccine.
Yep.
And so there was this town or something where they weren't going to have any police enforcement because all of them had quit until it was not mandatory any longer.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened with that. And I'm wondering, they're government employees. So I wonder if it's going around to all the different states.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if there ever is a, there are pockets of people that are disputing it and quitting their jobs or making a point about it, but it'll be interesting if it could ever be widespread enough to seriously challenge it, and I don't know. I don't know that that's the case. This is interesting. A 2,700-year-old toilet was found in Jerusalem.
What?
Yes. 2,700-year-old toilet. They were doing an excavation.
I bet it's got a bad clog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So they are in Jerusalem and they're excavating, these archaeologists are excavating this city, and they found that private bathrooms existed that far back, but you had to be uber, uber rich to have one. And it's weird, all the stuff they could find. Like, they found animal bones inside of the septic area. Yeah, the septic where it drained to.
Ew.
And they found other things. And so they were trying to then ascertain what might have been going on in that thing, like what people were doing or the lifestyle based on what they were finding. That's what archaeology is. They could even tell that a man was the last one to use that 2,700-year-old toilet. Yeah.
What?
Do I want to know? Oh, wow.
Good
okay,
one.
That was funny. I
Thank
was a
you.
Little bit nervous.
Thank you.
That's funny.
A little nervous.
Well done.
That was good.
All right, Lady Rock, what do you got?
Oprah Winfrey, I know she gives her advice, or she's asked to give her advice on a lot of things. One of the most ridiculous, though, is when she makes her top 10 list of the things for Christmas that you should buy.
Things
everything
she loves.
Is like under $1,000 is not even a possibility. But anyways, she recently talked about her friend group, and I didn't know this, but she said that she keeps her friend group pretty minimal.
I get that.
She has three friends. They are Gail King,
yep.
Maria Shriver,
okay.
and Bob Green.
Sad Stedman didn't even make it in there. Like her.
Who's that?
It's her boyfriend, husband. I don't know if they ever got married.
Oh.
Just Stedman, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, hey. I don't know.
I'd be like, hey, I guess she's counting outside of her relationship, maybe.
Maybe hopefully. So. Yeah. Well, she said that she's known Gail and Maria for 42 years.
Oh, wow.
That is a very long time. And then she met Bob. He's her personal trainer. They met in a Colorado spa years ago. But she said the reason that she keeps three friends around is because she wants to keep her circle with people that are actually happy for her when she is happy.
Mm.
But she says that the only way people can be happy for you and in your happiness is when they're happy and content in their own.
Oh, sure.
So there's plenty of people, I'm sure, that she's found herself around that want to be her friend, but in a way they're jealous of her. And so she tries to keep that circle very small.
All of that makes sense, because like if you're friends with Oprah, then you think there's going to be spillover and like, oh, she's worth hundreds of millions of dollars, so she'll do like things that all get to benefit from and, mm-hmm. and living that lifestyle. But yeah, your friendships have to be so much deeper than that. And you know, the idea of like, you can't love somebody unless you love yourself. I totally understand that now. It took me years to get that. And it's the same thing with happiness. You can't be happy for somebody else if you're not happy.
Mm-mm.
And I her point to that is perfect. Like my daughter kind of was going through this with a bunch of her like theater friends. They're all out hustling, trying to get jobs, and it's competitive. And so like you've got all these people that aren't happy in themselves. And then when one of their friends does well, they're not happy for them. You know, mm-hmm. they're jealous and it's bitter. And she's just surrounded by these caustic people. And I kept telling her, like, you have to get away from these people. It is sucking your soul. And then it's keeping it small. She found this one friend of hers who's in theater, but celebrates her, my daughter's successes as if they're her own. And like, mm-hmm. is just as excited for her. And then and Haley's always been wired that way. She's always done that for her friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's doing that with her. And it's just fun to see the two of them both be happy and moving forward, you know, in their career together. Yeah, instead of tearing each other down.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm so thankful, like, for Sarah in Haley's life, because it's brought Haley back to more of who she is and who I know she is in her soul. It had gotten lost a little bit, you know? And so when you see that friend that's happy for you and celebrates your successes, that's powerful, man. And you don't find that much. And so that's why when you find it, you keep it, you hold on to it.
And I think, too, it's very, it's something that you need to have a priority on, because I think, speaking as a 36-year-old single woman, it's easy for your friends, you think you're close, and then they find someone.
Yeah.
And then you realize that friendship really wasn't as strong as you thought it was. But I am thankful to say that God has blessed me with awesome best friends. And though I'm looking at you, I'm talking to you, okay?
Yeah.
Just because I'm talking to you, okay? But you've got this grin on your face that you're assuming some things.
No, and I know that not everybody in this room is your best friend.
Wink.
Wink. but no, it's funny because I literally just had this thought today. Because I in all seriousness, like, I pray for you.
In a good way. Explains a lot.
Probably what's hosed you all these years. So I'll stop. But it was funny because I was praying for you, and I thought I cannot wait for the day, because you've had so many roommates that you lived with and then they got married, and I know that that's a hard thing for you, or they, you know, and so that was a source of like, ah. And so I was literally thinking, I can't wait for the day when you're the one getting married and you're hosing Nicole. Like, I was like so happy about that.
I don't want to hose her.
Yeah, you do. And that's
okay. No, I don't.
You
honestly,
will.
Honestly, I do not.
Yeah, I know. I know you don't, but wink.
No. Oh, my word.
Oh, you just winked at me.
No, I did not.
With one eye.
No. Okay, so yes, my current roommate, Nicole, what my fear is that she'll find someone before I do.
I know, and I want you to go first this time. I do.
That fear, I know, is a selfish thing,
right?
Because I want her genuinely. Her to find that happiness.
Right.
Now, I'm fine if she never finds anyone.
Absolutely.
And I never find anyone. Then we'll just do life together, and it'll be great.
You guys.
But if she found someone, it'd be great if he had an eligible friend.
A brother. You two need to go to every twin, get together. No, you don't have to be. Just show up there. Just troll.
Yeah.
So like all the twins that do these
That's
twin reunions, like, and you guys just find a set of twins.
That's a good idea.
You guys, because they always get married at the same time. They do things together.
And then
together.
We'll be sister-in-laws.
Yeah, and how great is that?
That'd
see?
Be awesome.
I've thought this through for you, even where you
start
haven't.
Start praying for that.
The Lord gave me that thought, and so I think you should do this. Tell Nicole.
Where do you find twins at?
Oh, just look at like twin reunions and twin, what do they call them, conferences. They do twin conferences all the time.
Do they?
Yes. They do. I've watched a lot of shows about twins. I watch a lot of dumb TV shows, and there's That's a whole true. Thing on twins. There's a whole show on twins. So, yeah, you should totally do that. There you go. You're welcome.
All solved right. my single
Good luck,
problem.
I did. Yeah, you guys are both going to get married at the same time. It's going to be great.
It's going
to
be awesome.
It's going to be interesting having to walk you both down the aisle, but I can
Wait.
Do that. I have two arms.
No.
You need to stop.
Yeah, I still
She's
get this.
Got a dad.
Yeah, so do you.
And I have
I know,
a dad.
I know. They're both great men, I'm sure. I know Danny Ray. I don't know her dad. But yeah, they're both good men, and they wouldn't mind. I know Danny Ray wouldn't mind.
I mind.
I know. Danny
I
Ray.
I mind.
Danny Ray will be like, you know what, son? I think you should do this one.
You've, He's calling you son.
Yeah,
now?
You've practically raised her. So.
Oh. No. That is not going to happen.
Okay, well, we'll see.
I'll just show up one day and be married, and you won't even know
I do
it.
Have a feeling that that's going to happen. Like, I actually
and can
would.
You blame me?
Yes, I would hurt my feelings so much. Before you get married, we are going to watch the Jim and Pam episode of The Office.
Because that's exactly
Michael
what you'll
Scott.
Do.
Exactly. We're going to watch that.
You'll want to take over everything.
Exactly.
Give a best man speech or something.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
no.
That'd be great. All right. We'll put a pin in that. Okay. So what do you got for birthdays?
All right. We've only got one. It's okay. Robin, who wants to wish her 11-year-old son, Caden, a happy birthday. Happy
oh, cool.
birthday, Caden. Let's
Caden.
Sing him the song.
All right. Happy birthday from all of us to you. Wish you a happy birthday so we can party too. Hey!
Caden is funny and kind, loves the Wally Show, and is waiting for the opportunity to call in someday. He is also mad at mom for forgetting to submit his birthday last week.
Mom! What?
Did she redeem herself?
You know what? She did it today. Caden, she's got a lot. Give her a little slack. She got a lot on her plate. Let's be honest. You're a lot, Caden. But because I just know you're a boy, and I was too. And so, okay. But you know what? She did you right, and we love moms.
That's right. And she got you the song.
Yeah.
So her question is, what would a world populated by clones of you be like?
Perfection.
Oh, no.
It'd be the best world ever.
No, scary. It wouldn't. It'd be, yeah, it would. It'd be
I
a very
so.
Scary world. We'd, lots of anger.
It would be productive, though.
It would not be
would
angry
be
because everybody, we would all be doing things the right way. See?
Yeah.
Like, that's
no.
it.
No.
Yes.
Well, that's true.
Yeah,
because you would always know that you're right.
Right.
Because everybody's doing it right.
Right. Because, like, if it's all a world of me's, then we're going to do the same thing. We're going to do what we know is the right thing to do, and there aren't going to be other knuckleheads getting in the way and standing in the way of that progress. So it's utopia. Like, I can't even imagine a better world than that.
Mine would
Everyone's
be...
Everyone's going to do what I say. Oh my goodness.
That's what all your clones are going to be saying.
Yes, it's so good.
So no one's going to be doing what anyone says.
Maybe, I don't know.
It'd just be complete anarchy.
Yeah. Lady Rock.
Mine would be a world filled with a lot of people taking naps and doing stuff at home.
Yeah.
A lot of cats.
And there'd be a lot of cats.
Oh.
All the cats in the world would be saved.
Cat world. Kitten world.
Yes.
Gavin.
Chick-fil-A would be like booming.
Yeah.
I think my world would feature a lot of insects that did not get squashed or swatted because we're all too scared.
Yeah.
So there'd be too many bugs. But we would also just be really... Yeah, lazy.
That
after work, though.
Well, yeah, after work.
We're productive
Look
here.
At you two. Betty Rocks, I do nothing and go home. Gavin's like, I'm super lazy.
A lot of napping,
you,
a lot
you guys,
of lazy.
I'm right here. Like,
But afterwards.
Sure, I'll believe that.
You were talking about bugs.
Yeah.
So I recently, over the weekend, saw a bug in my apartment. Mm. And when I say bug, I say it was probably about the size of my palm.
Oh, wow. Do you
it
know what kind of bug
big.
It was?
No,
it?
I have no idea.
Like a spider?
But it could fly.
Oh.
And that was horrible.
Are you looking for
horrifying.
A new place now? Like,
well,
I would be
I considered
moving.
Burning it down.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure I was surprised that no one called the police because...
Scream.
It sounded like a murder was happening
because
I was screaming, I was saying a lot of things, and
I'm
it
sure
flew and I did kill it. But
oh,
it,
you did?
Yeah, wow. But it was scary.
Did you knock it out of the air or did you wait till it landed?
No, it actually flew off the wall, landed on the couch.
Oh, not what the couch.
I know. And I'm like, I can't squish it on the couch because then its guts are going to get in the couch material. So then I waited till it flew again and then it landed on a hard surface. And then I just went, wow.
I almost broke my neck the other day. I climbed up onto our kitchen counter because there was a bug up at the top of the ceiling. And my wife was like, will you kill it, please? I'm like, okay. So I get up there to go get it. Like you, I thought it was like a potato bug or something like that. So I was trying to get it down.
What's
I wasn't
a potato bug?
It's just a weird, like, ugly bug. It doesn't really do anything. So I was trying to get it down, and I didn't want to kill it. And we just had the walls painted, so I didn't want to squash it on the walls. I'm trying to get it. All of a sudden, this psycho, Terminator
bug
slash
or Marty.
Bug. This psycho Terminator slash Transformer bug comes off the wall and like you flies. No idea this thing could fly.
Yeah.
Boom! Comes right at me. I go to get out of the way, and I almost fall off the counter and hit my head on the island.
My gosh.
Oh, terrified me! But like, it shocked me so much. I didn't think this thing could fly, and all of a sudden, it was an aerial battle.
I think I did like the other day. I was like walking up to my door to like go inside, and I think that a bug flew, and I freaked out. But I think my lower body did it before my head did, because my shoulder just like snapped and hit me in the face. And then I turned and ran. And I'm still kind of sore right here from that.
Nice.
So, and then your wife had to come in and kill the bug.
Yeah. Or I sent Ellie after.
Oh my gosh. So good. I think it's just that time of year where they're all coming in.
They're all coming in, but like, hopefully we're close to colder weather where they can all just go
die. But sadly, they come back.
Mm. Yeah, but like 8 months or 5 months later.
We had a bunch of ants in our house while we were on vacation. And the girl, Sarah, who's staying there, was like, you have a bunch of ants in the house? And I'm like, okay, I think there's some ant spray and other thing. And I guess there was a ton. They're all by the cat food. So they'd come in.
Oh,
it had rained a lot. When it rains, sometimes they come in. But then she was like, I'm like, how's it going? Is it okay? She's like, it is an ant massacre in here. And she was like killing everything, which is great. Nate Bargatze has a great joke about bugs coming in. I wish we had that one. I don't think we have the New York bug
one. Why don't
you
try and retell it?
I can't. This one is...
Oh, this one you can't? But that doesn't stop you any other time?
Yeah, this one's really good, but it's the nuances of it are really important to get right. And I would get them wrong, so I don't want to do him a disservice. So, all right, with that, we are going to wrap this thing up, and that's going to do it for your Aftercast today, and thanks for being a potty.